All right, Matthew chapter number 6. The verse that I want to focus on is verse number 6 that says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly." The title of my sermon is this: Getting Paid to Pray. Getting paid to pray. If you got your Bibles, please go to 1 Samuel chapter number 12, verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter number 12, verse 20. Go ahead and just go there. You know, and so what I want to talk about today is prayer, of course, but I want to motivate you guys to pray more, because in 2021, we need more prayer. But you know what? We're going to need more prayer as time goes on, not less prayer. We're going to need more Bible, more church. We're going to need to serve God a whole lot more, you know, if we're going to succeed down the road, because the world's going to get a lot harder. It's not a secret, like the Bible says, that things are going to get worse and worse towards the end. It's going to be tribulation like never before. It says the evil men are going to wax worse and worse. The love of men is going to get colder and colder. So we shouldn't be surprised if the soul winning gets a little harder every single year. Amen. But that's why we got all these cool trips, you know, to these small towns, right? And to Mexico and everything else that we do to balance that out. Amen. You know, but right here, it clearly shows in Matthew 6:6 that, look, God's going to reward you when you pray. It's never in vain. When you do it in secret, obviously we do pray sometimes publicly. We pray before the service, you know, that God will bless it. You know, but primarily our prayers should be done in secret. Amen. And everything you do in secret, like it says right there, God will reward you openly in this life and the next. See, we're going to find out how much you prayed in the next world for sure. Maybe not in this world, but in the next one, we are going to find out how much time you spend in prayer. And it does amaze me. We get calls once in a while, people struggling with sin, you know, asking for tips on how to overcome sin. And one of the questions I like to ask them, well, let me just simply ask you this. How's your prayer life? You know, when was the last time you prayed? This is what they usually say. I can't remember. I don't know. You're right. I need to step that up. And it's not a shocker. You know, it's not a shocker when people call, hey, I'm struggling with sin. Yeah, I'm reading my Bible maybe, but how's the prayer? How's it going? Do you have a prayer life? You know, are you disciplined? You know, do you have something going for you? Because let me make it very clear, we need it. And not just that, it's a commandment. Let me just read a verse really quickly. Luke 18:1, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint." God wants us to always pray and not faint. Never quit is what he's saying. And this isn't a suggestion from Jesus. This is him telling you to do it. This is the order, you know, from our captain of our salvation. Go ahead and look at 1 Samuel chapter number 12, verse 20. It says, "And when Samuel had caused all the tribes," "and when Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. You turn not aside from following the Lord." Here's Samuel trying to get the nation of Israel to get right with the Lord, to stay right with the Lord. So he says, "You turn not aside from following the Lord, but you serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then shall ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because he has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me," this is the prophet of Israel, "as for me, God forbid," meaning I hope I don't do this, "that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you." So they're saying, look, it is sin for me to cease. And what is sin? Transgression of the law, breaking God's commandments. So as God's people, it's the same thing for us. If we stop praying, guess what? There's going to have to be some confession as soon as you start praying that you haven't prayed before. You know, Lord, forgive me for not praying yesterday, the day before, or whatever. Or if you happen to pray in the morning and you mess up in the afternoon, Lord, forgive me for that sin I committed this afternoon. Constantly keeping your heart clean, constantly keeping it nice, you know, so the Lord will be happy with you. You know, I heard this illustration, you know, it's a whole lot easier to keep the kitchen clean after you eat than when you eat and you neglect the kitchen. How's it going to look after a week or two? How easy is it to clean a kitchen, ladies, after you've been kind of letting it go for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a year? Try 20 years. See, when I started going to church, they asked for volunteers one day, and I jumped at the opportunity to serve. I was a new Christian. I was excited, started going to this church. I became a Baptist, and then they had volunteers. I'm like, I'll do it. And guess what it was for? To clean the kitchen. And I'm thinking, how hard could it be? The kitchen? I can do that. It was very, very difficult to clean that kitchen. They specifically wanted me to clean the stove, and my wife was there. It took us hours to clean that stove. And people will walk in, and they're like, "Whoo, that's a messy stove," and walk right out. They were not thinking at all as far as helping us out. And my fingers got so messed up. It took weeks for the black, you know, whatever it was that I was cleaning, it took for, seemed like forever for it to just go away. My fingers were all black. We didn't use gloves. I was just scrubbing, trying to get that stove clean. But I got it clean, amen. I got that clean. But you know what? It's the same with sin. You let it go. You don't confess it. God, purify my heart. Clean my heart. Forgive me. Help me out. You know, keep me straight. Hey, it's going to get dirtier and dirtier. It's going to be harder to clean it once it's defiled. Amen? You know, but we see Samuel saying, look, I'm not going to sin against God by failing or ceasing to pray for you. And we need to do the exact same thing. We need to make sure that we don't go days, you know, days without prayer. You know, as one said, or there's a saying that says, hey, 7 days, you know, without prayer makes 1 week. And we're not talking about the number, amen? We're talking about you spiritually weak. Not that, hey, 7 days without prayer equals a week, like in a week, you know, 1 week of the month or whatever. It will make you weak as you go without prayer. We need it. Pray for power. Pray for the fullness of the Holy Ghost. You know, but like I said in Matthew 6:6, you know, God will reward you openly. So that should be some motivation to pray. It's never in vain. And realizing that God will always answer your prayers better than you expect, better than you ask. See, we'll get into that later, but a great example is Solomon. Go to 1 Kings. You're right there in 1 Samuel. Just go to the right. 1 Kings chapter number 3. Just go ahead and go to 1 Kings chapter number 3. Meet me in verse number 5. While you go there, I'm going to read from Luke 11:9. That says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. John 14:12 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, even a Ferrari, hold up, I didn't say that. Even a big house, a mansion, I never said that. Pastor Greg, $1 million, if I ask, am I going to receive it? Hold up a little bit, all right? All right, let me get a little bit more clear. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I don't know if it's his will. Well, just pray. You'll find out. How am I going to find out if you get it or not? That's just how it is. But you're right there in 1 Kings. Let's look up a perfect example that a man that prayed in secret but yet was rewarded openly. And I recommend we aim to be like this man, and this is Solomon. It says in 1 Kings chapter number 3, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and of rightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept from him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou had asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, nor hast asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Talk about a heavy, heavy reward. Heavy reward. He was rewarded openly, became the richest, wisest man on the planet. Helped spread the word of the Lord. Got a lot of people to believe on the Lord. It says in Psalms 55:17, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray. So that's a good tip. Aim for 3 times a day. I know that's a tip that pastor gives people. It's like, look, if you haven't started your prayer life, hey, aim for 3 times a day. You know, when I get on the phone with individuals, I'm like, look, aim for 8 a.m., aim for 12, aim for 8 p.m., 10 p.m. If you skip one, you skip two, chances are you'll get number three. And if you don't get them, then you know what? Keep going at it. Practice makes perfect, amen? That's all you can do. Just keep on practicing, keep on perfecting your discipline. Keep disciplining yourself, but pray. I mean, here's somebody who's saying, hey, morning, night, and noon, I am going to pray. And that's a great way to start out. And a great example of this was Daniel. If you have your Bibles, go to Daniel chapter number 6. Go to Daniel chapter number 6. While you go to Daniel chapter number 6, I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, rejoice evermore. Doesn't get any more simpler than this. Verse 17, three words. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But that's for us as well. It's not just for that individual or those individuals. God wants us to be thankful people. Romans 1, what was the first thing they did? They became unthankful. God forbid that God's people should become unthankful. This morning we have so many things to be thankful for. We have a lot of benefits that we receive from the Lord daily. On my way over here, my wife, I didn't see her text. You know, I stopped answering texts while I drive. It's not becoming a good habit to continue. But she texted me. I didn't see it until I got here. She's like, hey, FYI, there's an accident on the Southern. Be careful. And sure enough, I already came across it. You know, but hey, that could have been me. You know, I'm on my way to church. You know, that could have been me. I believe God protected me. You know, so it can happen. You know, it can happen when you make into an accident. Hey, once again, God will protect you. He'll take care of you. You know, but pray without ceasing. Keep doing it as best you can. You're right there in Daniel chapter number 6. One of my favorite stories. Remember, we just read in Psalms, or I just read to you in Psalms 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray. And you know what? I've noticed that a lot of statements in the Bible, you'll end up finding stories of people that actually did those things. So here's somebody who's praying, morning, night, and noon. And then we see an example of somebody that's actually doing it. And that's Daniel. Let's take a look. Now, when Daniel knew that the writings was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. This was a habit that he built. I bet you he got there by practicing. Practice makes perfect. He disciplined himself to become this individual that 3 times a day. And you know what? We're probably going to go through a similar thing. It's going to seem like, hey, the world's going to get wicked. They're not going to love Christians down the road. So, of course, you know, why is he praying 3 times a day? So that he can be successful in those trying times. You know, during his time, it wasn't the best time to be alive. But I'm pretty sure praying helped, because praying produces peace. You know, just like Stephen in Acts chapter number 6, his face was like the face of an angel. You know, that guy was full of faith. That guy was full of wisdom. So it's not a coincidence. You know, God will give you what you need. And he knows that we all need power. We all need peace. We all need patience. You know, we all need joy. We all need pleasure. He's going to give it to you. But sometimes, hey, we have not because we ask not, right? It just happens. You know, so if you have your Bible, go to Luke 11. Go to Luke 11. I'll just read a few more verses about prayer. Here's Hebrews 13, 18. It says, pray for us. Pray for us. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, pray for us. It's important. Hey, we don't take this for granted. This isn't a joke to us. This is something serious to us. This is important. This is part of our success that people are praying for us. Not just ourselves praying for ourselves, but hey, we want you guys to help us and pray for us for success. Hebrews 13, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Let me read some verses about Jesus' prayer life. He was hardcore about prayer. If you know what I'm talking about, let me give you some examples. Matthew 14, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He knew, look, most people are not going to go up a mountain and chase me down. Whatever they want from me, you know what? If it's obviously easy, they'll come to me and kind of hinder me. But he knew I have to make time. I can't be so busy in my day, you know, casting out devils, healing blind people, raising up dead people. I can't get so busy because people are going to suck my time. I gotta break off. I got to go pray. I need it too. And if Jesus Christ needs it, who are we to say we're all right? You know, yeah, you know, if I get to it, great. If not, whatever. If I pray today, I pray today. That wasn't Jesus Christ's attitude. He's like, I got to get away. Up the mountain. If that's what it's going to take, I'm going up that mountain. So nobody follows me because they'll be too tired to get up there. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up, a great while before day. Who knows what time that was? 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m.? All I know is before the sun came out. So you kind of guess how early that was. But all we know is that it was early. Amen? It says, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Luke 5:16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He's escaping. He's like, I need to break away right now. Looking left, looking right. I need to get with God. I need to talk to the Father. I need to get with him. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went up into a mountain to pray and continued, look at this, all night in prayer to God. No sleep, all night. Man, that is hardcore. That is hardcore. I don't know if you guys ever done it. I've never done it. To be praying all night. Man, I think he's kind of giving us a heads up. Hey, prayer is important. Amen. Luke 9:28, and it came to pass after 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up. He's like, hey, guys, let's go pray. Where are we going, Jesus? Into a mountain. He's like, we're going up the mountain to pray. And look, I went to the Barnhart Trail. Who's ever done the Barnhart Trail? That's where we shot one of the episodes in our Landmarks episodes. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. You know, but it wasn't that easy. It was like an hour and a half of straight walking up, you know. So then I ended up going back because we thought we left some microphones, you know, with our SD cards. We thought we lost the audio. We left it up in the mountain. So I'm like, yeah, I got to go back. But you know what? I couldn't really remember quite well where it was. So I took my older son with me because he was there the first time. And then my other kids, they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. They begged me to come. I'm like, okay, you want to come? I'll take you. They regretted it. They're like, we're not going up there anymore. And it took us 2 hours to get back to the car. We're up in the mountain. It took us 2 hours to get back, an hour and a half to get up there. That's how much of a beating their feet took. And they're like, no mas, I'm good. And I tell them, look, I got one more episode, episode 10 with Pastor Mejia. I need some B-roll. Who wants to come? Not I. That's all right. I'm just ripping on my kids, you know. Hey, it's a volunteer army right now. I may force you guys later. But we got to go this week to get some B-roll. So they want none of that. They had enough the first time around. But let's take a look at Luke 11. And look, why am I preaching on prayer? Hey, Jesus taught on prayer. He taught his disciples to pray. You know, they never asked him, teach us how to cast out devils, Jesus. You know, Jesus, can you teach us how to heal blind people? You know, it's like, hey, Jesus, teach us. The only thing you see them saying, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. That means they were very impressed by how Jesus prayed. They were super impressed. They're like, hey, I want some of that. And sometimes I wonder, like, how could they not know how to pray? Have they not read Psalms? Psalms is like a gigantic prayer book. Have you ever noticed that? Break their teeth, oh Lord. Send them straight to hell. There's a lot of prayers. So I'm wondering, like, man, did they not read the book of Psalms? But I guess they felt like, hey, we want to know one thing. Hey, are we doing this right? Are we praying correctly? You know, teach us these things. Let's take a look. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's just it. You know, quickly, that's how you pray. If you're trying to remember that, you know, who's ever heard of the high five prayer? Who's ever heard of that? Where you use the fingers to remember kind of, you know, certain parts. Like, for example, the thumb, right? It starts with T. You know, this is something you can Google on the internet. So just to kind of remember, all right, you know, I want to pray and have like a complete prayer. You know, well, obviously based on what Jesus did, you should have a time where you're thanking God. So the thumb is to remind you to thank God. And the little pointer finger is time to remind you to praise God. And then the middle finger, the index finger, is a time to start to say, God, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, forgive me. You know, be merciful unto me. The ring finger, that's a time to start requesting things for God. God, you know, help me with this, help me with that. You know, and then the pinky finger, that's a time to ask God for protection. You never heard that before? Well, now you know. Remember, thumb, thank God, pointer, praise God. Index finger, I'm sorry, God. Ring finger, God, I need this. And the pinky finger, protection. God, hey, protect me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Got it? Let's move on. All right, more scripture on prayer. And so while you have your Bible, and I'll go ahead and go to James 5. Go to James 5. James chapter number 5. I'm going to read from 1 Timothy 2:1. It says, exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. That's our pastor. That could be our governor. That could be our mayor. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I would therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Notice holy hands. And we'll get to that in a second. Hindrances to prayer, we'll get to that in a second. But this is what I'm talking about. Good Christians, here's a benefit. Straight to God, anytime, any place, anywhere. Backsliding Christians, stop. You need to confess some sin. Get right with the Lord so he can hear you. And it's not just confessing. Here's the secret. It's confessing and forsaking. God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. While you continue in sin, not happening. You want to start prospering again? Confess and forsake. Hey, those are the ones that prosper. So how bad do you want God's prosperity? How bad do you want God's power? Well, we need to have some forsaken. You know, and unless he repent, Jesus told them, you know, Luke 3, you should likewise perish. Not talking about salvation, talking about physical death. You continue in sin, you want to continue to live wicked, guess what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to come down and punish you. And that's the facts of life. God will give you a long time. You know, he'll be long-suffering towards you. Not willing that any shall perish, but at some point, he's going to have to bring the hammer down if you refuse to repent. Saying sorry is not what impresses God. Turning from that sin is where he comes in and says, okay, you're forgiven now. You're forgiven now. Well, what if I do it again? Keep confessing and saying sorry. Keep doing it. And so what do we see here? A, pray for the leaders. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Once again, he's like, hey, in Hebrews, pray for us. The Apostle Paul talked to the church in Thessalonica. Hey, pray for us, brethren, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Doesn't get any simpler than this. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Brethren, pray for us. That's it. That's the verse. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four words. Brethren, pray for us. So why am I saying, hey, pray for each other. Let's just keep praying for each other. It shouldn't just be all about you when you pray. It should be about, hey, I know such and such is struggling, Lord. Help them out. You'll be knocking out two birds with one stone, and I'll get into that in a second. You're right there in James 5. More evidence that it's not just about praying for yourself. Yeah, you already saw what Jesus says. Hey, this is how you pray. You know, lead us not into temptation. Give us our daily bread. Deliver us from evil. You know, quickly pray for yourself, and then start helping other people. James 5:13 says this. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him give psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Pray when people are sick. That's what we pray for people that are sick. We're like, Lord, heal such and such so he can continue to serve you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a what? Once again, what's a great benefit of being a good Christian? Prayer is going to get answered. Prayer is going to get answered. You want to be somebody who's like, man, God's not answering my prayers. Well, what's going on? You know, you're basically saying that you're in sin. That's just how I see it. I would just be like, hey, I'm just waiting patiently on the Lord, you know? But it's like, hey, God never answers my prayer. Oh, man, you just confessed to me something that you probably not have noticed. But either way, let's get into hindrances really quickly. You know, if you have your Bible and you're still there in James, go to James 4:2. Go to James 4:2. Well, you go to James 4:2, you know, I'll read from Psalm 66:18, one of my favorite verses. It just reminds me to keep my heart clean because I want God to hear me. I want God to answer my prayers. You go to James 4:2, I'll read from Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will. It doesn't say might not hear me. You know, God understands. He knows I'm weak. He realizes that, You know, I'm really a good guy. I mean well. It's just that this temptation is just too strong for me, whatever it may be. You know, well, he made it very clear. He will not answer you. And that's a scary place to be where God's not answering you. Talk to King Saul when you meet him in heaven. What did he just say? The Lord's not answering me. And he got worse and worse and worse. But if you're right there in James 4:2, let's take a look. You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not because of what? Because you're not praying, because ye ask not. But hey, remember, brother Segura, if I just ask, I'm going to get everything I want? No. You ask and receive not. Here's the key thing, because you ask amiss. Hey, if you're asking for something that's not good, something wrong, amiss is like, hey, you're asking, you know, for the wrong thing. It says that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And guess what? When you're the enemy of God, when you're too worldly, he's not going to answer you. He doesn't have your back. He's there with you. Yeah, you're sealed with the Holy Ghost, but you won't be filled with his power. You'll be a powerless Christian, just like Lot. No power to get anybody saved. Nobody's listening to you. You're a mock. That's all they're doing. They're just mocking you. And I don't want you guys to be that way. So, of course, this message is just to get you going. Haven't started praying. Let's get that going. Because if you're like, hey, are people really going days without praying? Yes, we get those phone calls. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. Any tips? I'm like, how's your Bible? Well, yeah, okay, how's your prayer? Yeah, you're right. It's been days. I don't remember. Think about it. I don't remember the last time I prayed. It must be over a week or something. Because even if it was the day before, I'd be like, yeah, well, I prayed yesterday in the morning before I started my day. Well, great. Now up it up 2 times. In the Bible, 3 times. Some people praise the Lord 7 times. But here's some hindrances to prayer. You can just listen up or just meet me at 1 John 5:3. James is not that far from 1 John 5:3. I'll just read from 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When you don't have the love of the Father, you're in sin. How do we know? Because we're commanded to keep ourselves in the love of God. It says in Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God. What does it mean, keep yourselves in the love of God? What does that even mean? 1 John 5:3, if you're there, take a look. For this is the love of God, that what? That we keep his commandments. In other words, that you're a good guy, you're a good Christian. You know, keep doing good. You got a lot of benefits. Don't mess up your name. Don't screw it up, you know? I'm not talking about being perfect, because the Bible says that, hey, a just man falleth. If you're a just man, you will fall. But get up, practice and make perfect. It says he falleth 7 times. So yeah, you stumble, get up, you stumble, keep moving, keep serving God. Bottom line, just don't faint, just don't quit, don't cease praying. Amen? Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So the first thing that will hinder you is being too sinful, too worldly, loving sin too much. That's going to hinder your prayer life. As you can tell, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Remember that. The other thing that can hinder your prayers is having an unforgiving spirit. You don't have to go there. Instead, what you guys can do is just go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 16. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 16. I'm going to continue to read. Where it says to Mark 11:25, when ye stand praying, forgive if y'all ought against any. That's your neighbor, that's your church member, that could be your wife. And we'll get into that in a second. You're like, man, you didn't have a Valentine's sermon this morning. Oh, we'll get there. We'll have a little bit of Valentine's time before this is over. We'll talk about love. Amen. It says really quickly, forgive if you ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You guys should know this already. But to me, to repeat things that you already know, it's good. It's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for everyone. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. So if you're expecting me to preach something new, teach you something new, well, if I do, great. If not, you know what? I'm still getting a job done. To put your remembrance of these things, to me, is not grievous. You know, to me, is great. So, what do we got? Number one, too sinful, too worldly, loving sin too much will hinder your prayers. Number two, Having an unforgiving spirit will hinder your prayers. And we already saw how important prayer is. You saw how Jesus prayed. You saw how much the Bible mentioned prayer, praying for one another, praying to the Lord. Another thing, here's your Valentine's message, having an improper husband-wife relationship. Improper husband-wife relationship is not worth it. Hey, husbands, wives, something's going on, get it right. It ain't worth it. You don't get it right, it's only going to get worse. Well, he did this, she did this, she said this, he said this. Just got to stop that. Quit it. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to sleep angry. Somebody step up and say, I'm sorry, my bad. You know, even if it's not your bad, just to diffuse. I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry, babe. Whatever you use in your house, you know. Why, Brother Segura? Listen to this, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. And you're not giving honor to your wife when you're calling her names, amen? I'm not talking about picking on her here and there. Every man does that, amen? But when you're flat out dogging out your wife, you know, don't do that. You know, it's going to come back to you. You're going to suffer for it. Wives, just be patient if your husband just happened to, you know, be in that mood where he's just making you feel, you know, like the worst person ever. Not that it's happening in my house, but. Here's the key thing. Giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It ain't worth it. I want my prayers to be answered, don't you? That fight, hey, get it over with. I'm sorry, please, I'm sorry. Whatever, just get it over. And mean it too, guys, come on. Sorry, no. Honey, I really am sorry. My bad, I'm sorry, I was an idiot. I'm stupid, I can't, I'm sorry I said that the food sucks. Whatever, you know? Worst dinner ever. I didn't mean that. It came out. It just came out. Out of dependence of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Oh. Get a cookbook. No, I'm just kidding. Mrs. Anderson's cookbook. On Amazon. No discounts, people. Gee, work hard on that. Pay double. So what else will hinder you? Hinder your prayers. We already saw too sinful. We already saw unforgiving spirit. We already saw an improper husband-wife relationship. And another one is when you start to despise God's word. Sunday evening people. No, I'm just kidding. Where's everybody at? I guess it's not that important. I'm just kidding. I'm sure people have some real, serious, legitimate reasons why they're not here tonight. You know, I'm sure they have something that, you know, the Lord will buy. But despising God's word is going to make God quickly say, don't talk to me. Talk to the hand. How do you know? You guys are there in 1 Thessalonians 5? Simple verses. Receive, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Why? Because it's going to hinder your prayers. And look, obviously, if people are, you know, missing that were here this morning, this is not an attack. I'm just poking fun of it. You know, if I offend you, I'm sorry, but I'm just being funny, trying to be funny. You know, so don't go around, where were you? Where were you? Where were you? You know, don't do that. We'll get to that later if you see your brother sin. No, just kidding. So how do I get started, Brother Girl? You're talking this big talk about we need to pray more. Okay, you got me. Jesus Christ was a prayer warrior like no one else. We get it. He went up to the mountain. He broke away. He did whatever he had to do to get the Lord's attention, to get his Father's attention, and get his Father to help him. You know, he was trying to constantly have the Father on his side, constantly in communication with the Father. How do we start? Well, like I said earlier, like we always recommend, like Pastor tells people, hey, aim for multiple times throughout the day. Aim for multiple times throughout the day. We already went through the scriptures where it says, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry out loud. Aim for it. You miss the morning, you miss the afternoon. Hopefully you get the nighttime. And if you miss all three, try it again the next day. Keep perfecting your skills, your prayer skills. Amen. Just don't give up on it because God will reward you openly. He will. You know, so keep it going. He'll reward you openly. Psalms 119, 164 says this, 7 times a day. Do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments? I'm not asking you to do that. Not even close. But man, this guy did. He wrote it. That settles it. It's God's word. 7 times. 7 times. Wow. Man, that's good. And another thing I recommend, another tip, Hey, do it in the morning. As best you can, do it in the morning. Seek ye first. That's what we read in Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. How long? Well, look, we all have different goals in life, you know. But I just try to aim for at least 5 minutes of prayer, at least 5 minutes of Bible, if I'm that bad on time, before I even start my day. That's pretty much a chapter and 5 minutes of just thanking God, praising God, confessing to God, asking God for help, and asking God for protection. Usually it's about 5 minutes. So aim for 10 minutes. And then we'll get into some other tips as well. But how do I start? It says right there in Matthew 6:33, if you can, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Some people, they walk and pray. I think that's great. Jesus did it. You know, they go out for 30 minutes, they come back for 30 minutes. They pray for an hour when they start their day. That's great. If you can do that, do it. You know, some people run and pray. You know, they jog and pray. I'm sure they're not sprinting in prayer. That'd be kind of hard. But, you know, sometimes we can jog pretty slow to the point where it's kind of like speed walking. Hey, some people do that. You know, they jog for 30 minutes, get a little bit of exercise, you know, trying to cut some weight, whatever the case may be. You know, just go for it. Do something, you know. You have to climb a mountain, climb a mountain. Or get an elliptical to wake you up. I don't know. You know, but starting out, just pray about everything. Look at this, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Just pour your heart out to him. Anything that's bugging you, any issues you've got going on, whatever problems are affecting you, unleash it on God, amen? Just let him have it. Lord, this is what's bothering me. Just let it all go. Tell it to the Lord, and you'll be done with it, and I'm sure you'll have the peace of God, like it says right there, and that will help you out. Tip number 4. The title of the sermon is Paid to Pray, but I'm not really talking about Matthew 6:6. Even though you will get paid, like it says, whatsoever you do in secret, God shall reward you openly. That's not really why I called the sermon Paid to Pray. Here's the bottom line. We could all, if we want to, get kind of paid to pray, in a sense. Here's what I mean by that. I was talking to somebody else, and I was just asking, hey, do you get breaks at work? Yeah, I get breaks at work. Raise your hand if you get breaks at work. Looks like the majority of people get breaks at work. Wives, come on, you can take a break too. You know, stay-at-home wives, you can take a little break here and there, you know. But here's what happened when I started working at age 13. They gave me breaks. You know, I started working at a sports camp. They gave me a 15-minute break, a 30-minute lunch, and a 15-minute break, pretty much an hour. You know, and then pretty much I just go home after an 8-hour shift. My second job was working at Safeway. I was working at Safeway. You know, not even as a cashier. I didn't have skills to do that. You know, just pushing carts. Amen. But they gave me a 15-minute break, and they gave me a 1-hour lunch and a 15-minute break. The next job after that was the military. Even in the military, they gave us breaks. During non-training days, they give us an hour lunch, right, Brother Nate? Right? We just go to the barracks and take a nap, correct? Isn't that what we usually did? No? Oh, man, that was only me? I was 18, you know. I figured, what am I doing? I'll just go home and nap. Oh, you know, and then I'll be back in formation. True or false? Even during training, they gave us breaks, did they not? Lots of breaks during training. All right, guys, take a break. We're going to eat right now. Bust out an MRE. Meal's ready to eat and start chewing on it, right? Even in combat, they gave us breaks. I'm in Iraq. We're guarding schools with bombs and ammunition and everything else. And we went 50% during the day, meaning half of the squad is on security. Half of them are relaxing and eating their meals. Nighttime, we go to 75%. Midnight to 4 a.m., we're 100%. Everybody's up. Even during combat, we got breaks. What am I getting at? Here's what I'm getting at. Use some of those breaks to pray and read your Bible. Just use one, you know, use one or use two. When I worked over here at Fry's Electronics, you know, 5 minutes from here, they would give us a 10-minute break and a 1-hour lunch, then a 10-minute break. And they didn't include you walking to the break room. They'd be like, hey, once you get to the break room, just integrity is an integrity game. You get 10 minutes. Once you walk to the break room, just sit down for 10 minutes, relax, because we're on our feet the whole time. You know, I was on my feet from like 7 a.m. all the way to 11 p.m. You know, so they would say, hey, just relax, do whatever you want to do, get something to eat, whatever the case may be. I just read my Bible and prayed. I'm not trying to be holier than thou, but I'm just telling you, hey, I just took the advantage because I wanted to get through the Bible so many times a year. And guess what? You have the same opportunity as well. And they paid me for that break. Now you're starting to see the message? Paid to pray. Now you're getting it? Paid to pray. Some people get 15-minute breaks. True? That's like two chapters. Now I got two chapters and 5 minutes praying. Bam. Easy, easy. I don't think it'll be that difficult. Now you're like, well, Brother Girl, I don't like carrying my Bible everywhere I go. Well, get the app on your phone. I don't even own a Bible. This Bible is Pastor Anderson's Bible. I do all my Bible reading off my phone, you know? And now that the phones are getting bigger and bigger, it's a lot easier to read. My kids have these little smartphones on their wrists. None of them have, you know, SIM cards, so don't panic, all right? You know, none of them have SIM cards. But they can beef up the font. See, look at that. Look at that. They got their little watches because I was sick and tired of them leaving their tablets behind. And I'm trying to get them to read their Bible and pray every 2 hours, you know, while they're getting homeschooled. I'm like, okay, stop every 2 hours and just read for 5 minutes, pray for 5 minutes, just to get them in the habit of doing it. Because guess what? Once again, we need more prayer, not less prayer. That's just a fact. The world's getting crazier and crazier and crazier. And you know what? If you want to be like Stephen, standing strong with the face like an angel, being tough, filled with the Spirit, it wasn't just by reading his Bible, my friend. I guarantee you it was through prayer as well. The whole package, like Job, being complete, being perfect. Job knew how to pray, I guarantee you that. And the apostles were like, wow, we want to be like our Savior. You know, it's like, hey, teach us to pray. Am I doing it right? Well, let me tell you what you need to do. Praise God, thank God, ask for protection, ask for your needs, your daily bread, and forgive others. You need to be a forgiving person. It's like, man, forgiving people is hard because you don't have a habit of doing it. Imagine if you're praying 3 times a day, morning, night, and noon. Lord, forgive me for being such a wicked person. You're going to be like that guy that says, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. You're not going to be like the publican. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this church member. Did you see that church member? You see what he's wearing? You know? Did you see that shirt he brought in? What? You know? Joe Biden, really? At our church? Somebody needs to go talk to that guy. Brother Girl, Joe Biden, really? You want to warn that guy? I mean, wake him up a little? What are you talking about? Trump is just as bad. You know, some people say maybe less, maybe more. I don't care. He's unsafe. He's prideful. Never can answer. They're all ruining this country. Amen. That's why I don't worry about any of that. But that's what you have to do. It's just, hey, try to do your best to just read through the Bible. You know, and I use the Olive Tree app. Who knows what I'm talking about? Little green one has many Bible plans. Amazing Bible plans. You know, it has a 31-day Bible plan. That's intense. You know, but it also has a 1-year Bible plan where it's just 4 chapters a day. Well, if you get up in the morning, boom, you knock out one. You do it for your first break, you knock out two. Do it for the lunch, you knock out three. You do it for your last break, boom. You just knocked out your Bible reading for the day so you can get through it in a year. Well, just continue it every 2 hours. What's the hurt? What's the big hurt to continue it and do another day? Now you're going to finish it twice a year. In 10 years, that's 24 times. You're not going to be a dummy. You're not going to be easily deceived. And it's not easy to mentally enslave somebody who knows the Bible. It's very difficult. People try to say X, Y, and Z. You're like, please, that's not what the Bible says. I know the truth about the Sodomites. Amen. But all I'm trying to say is, hey, I don't think it's hard to just take one of your breaks and read the Bible. True? And I think we're going to get to heaven and realize how much time we wasted when we could have been reading our Bible. I'm included. I'm guilty. But I want to kind of end that as best I can. In my life, my kids, everybody, we all know that, hey, we can take a little bit more time. We can cut one of those breaks and use it during my lunch, whatever, you know. Just have a war plan. You'll have more success. What I do is I take out my phone. I have a little. In fact, I just got to show you guys so you see I'm not just making stuff up. So every 2 hours, I just click it, got my stopwatch, and I got my Bible. After 10 minutes, back to work. Back to work. Because after 2 hours just focusing on videos, man, it's like, oh, man, it's a mental whatever. Then when I read my Bible and I do my 10-minute break, it's like refreshes me. It refreshes me. And everybody gets a break, do we not, guys? You guys get a break? Hey, why can't I have a break too? Can I get a break, please? You know? Pastor Anderson obviously doesn't, you know, he's not our taskmaster whipping us here and there. But I do want to pray for you guys as well. You know, I do want to take a little bit of time to pray for you guys. Yeah, we're busy. He's busy. He knows what I'm talking about. We're busy. You know, he's like, how'd you get everything done? You know, I'm doing like your job. And, you know, I don't know how you did it. I don't know either. But we made it happen, right? And now that I got a good team member, we're going to get a lot more done for the Lord, for you guys. Hopefully we allow you guys to get heavily rewarded. You know, but Once again, Matthew 6, 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. That's in this life and the next. Amen. In other words, you're getting paid to pray. But, ladies, stay-at-home moms, come on. You guys as well. Gotta do it. The kids will get you busy. You guys gotta cook. I'm talking to the stay-at-home moms. You guys gotta cook. You guys gotta clean. You guys gotta teach the kids. It's hard. Stay-at-home moms, that's a real job, believe it or not. Even when we were trying to get our house, the loan officer is like, write down your occupations. Whatever, cashier at Fry's Electronics. My wife's like unemployed. The lady, the loan officer, literally took the paperwork and says, no. You need to put stay-at-home mom. That's a real job. This is the loan officer. Scratch out unemployed and put stay-at-home mom. Remember that? Where's my wife? Can I get an amen? You know, a loan officer, unsaved, worldly loan officer said, hey, you're a stay-at-home mom. That's a real job. You need to write that down. You have a real job, not unemployed. Because my wife figured, she's not going to understand. I'll just put unemployed. She's like, oh, no. Scratch that. In fact, here's a new sheet. Please put stay-at-home mom. That is a real job. That's what she said. I'm like, well, that's what's up. So I know even the ladies are working 12, 16, 18, 20-hour days sometimes because their job is never done. You know, their job is cooking, cleaning, homeschooling, educating themselves. But you have to stop, separate yourself, and you got to read your Bible. Ladies, got to read your Bible, got to pray. It will benefit your family. It will benefit your marriage. It will benefit everybody. You know, because righteousness exalts the nation. And how are we going to make America great again? By getting right with the Lord. That's how you really make it great. Not by voting for Trump. There, I said it. Not by voting for Trump. By you getting right with the Lord as best you can. That's how God's going to bless this nation. Not voting for him or whoever. That's how we get this nation to be exalted by righteousness. And all God's people say? I'm glad you backed me up a little bit. I know. Politics, you shouldn't talk about it. But either or. The last tip. So quickly, my tips. Really quick tips. Once again, hey, got to be careful being too sinful. Got to be careful being an unforgiving individual. Got to be careful, you know, improper husband-wife relationship. Got to be careful getting sick of listening to Pastor Anderson preach or me or whoever. Got to be careful of that because people in other nations are like, man, what I would give to go to Faithful Word Baptist Church. And then you're here like, man, brother said, girl, really? If I knew pastor was sick, I would just stay home, save some gas. Well, let's just say your prayers ain't going to get answered. That's a fact. Like, whoa, that's not a humble spirit. I'm telling you, whoever gets up here, Brother Corbin, Raymond, whoever, you know, people will give anything to be in your shoes. To know that they're going to a church that's a real, legitimate, bona fide, not these fake, you know, apostate Christianity churches all throughout Africa, all throughout Mexico, all throughout the whole world. You know, it's like, man, what I would give to be part of Faithful Word Baptist Church. Man, Lord, when is it going to happen? Well, it might happen in the next life for some people in other nations. And you're here and you're just like, oh, really? Brother Segura? All I got to say is be careful despising God's word, whoever's preaching it. And the tips, multiple times throughout the day, aim for 3. Once again, start in the morning. Pray about, unleash on God. Pray about everything. Even if I offended you, pray that God forgives me. And if you can, hey, get paid to pray, right? Get paid to pray. Get paid to eat, get paid to pray. You know, skip it and just pray. And my last tip, do it every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these people. Thank you for your faithful ones, dear Lord. We know that life ain't easy. It's very tough. The devil's going to try to destroy us. You know, but we ask you to give us the power, the peace, the patience, everything we need to get the job done and help us to be victorious, which you know we will. And Father, we ask you to just bless everyone here. Keep them safe as they go home. Help Pastor Anderson to be 100% by Wednesday. Father, we know that being sick is a terrible thing, and I pray that him and his family, you know, they're dealing with the corona right now, loss of their smell and taste. I pray that you get that all back really soon and that you help us to get back to normal so we continue to fight for you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.